Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, survivors. Welcome to Survival Jobs, the podcast in collaboration with Broadway World and Broadway Podcast Network. It's me, your boy, Jason A. Coombs, with my girl, Samantha Titzelo, shining bright over there with the hair pulled back for those who can't see her, looking like a star. Hi, Samantha Dawn Titzelo.
Hi, Jason A. Coombs.
How are you?
I'm good. You know, the allergies have taken me down.
Allergies
have taken me down. But other than that, the sun is shining. Things are moving and grooving. Things are happening. We're feeling good. The allergies. We did have an exciting weekend.
Yes, we did.
Such an exciting weekend. For those faithful listeners, as you know, last Sunday, we participated in the first annual Broadway Podcast Network's PodFest, and
we
got to interview Issa and John Briones, and that episode will be coming out as a bonus in the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned. Go see Hadestown. We talked a lot about that last week. These two were just so amazing to chat with, and we ended that interview, and I said to everyone, I said, I feel like I could go run 3 miles. Like, I was just so happy and energized. So it was a really great conversation. And how beautiful a father-daughter duo on stage together. Like, it can't get better than that, you know?
And how beautiful that they adopted me as their their black son slash brother.
They definitely did. And we were pressed for time. We kept getting the wrap it up sign because I didn't even get my chance to get adopted as well. But Jason, I am happy for you. What an iconic family to be adopted into.
Yes.
We cannot miss a week of the temperature check So for new listeners, Jason and I used to have this format where we just check in and see how we're doing. Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, we switched it to say, what is your temperature check? But you need to compare it to a musical or play or like a song or a moment in play.
A play or show. Yeah. You have one? Or you want me to go first?
I would like you to go first if you have it ready.
Okay. I am very, very feeling like, I think I've used this show before, but it's just like the way the world is just, it's ragtime again. But specifically, it's going to sound really kooky, but when a little brother is like, I know how to blow things up. Like, that's kind of how I feel, because the world is on fire right now, but there's so much change happening in the air. There's so much resistance. And it's just like, this is history in the making with everything that's happening with the Palestine and whatnot. We're not going to go into full details, but it's like, this is what is going to be in the history books when we look back. There's going to be like plays, and there's going to be musicals, and there's going to be movies about what's happening right now. So I'm just feeling very politically like on fire. I'm always are. I'm always am, I guess, right? But like, this is the moments when you see stuff in the news and you see how like change is happening. And these young kids today, these Gen Zers, man, they're incredible. I'm blown away by them.
Yeah.
So ragtime, little brother.
Ragtime. Little brother.
Yeah, how about you?
I feel like the poor in Les Mis.
Which is like, also very fitting to 2024.
Like, that serious?
Shit is real.
Yeah, like I am exaggerating, right? A little bit for the bit. But, you know, I feel financially frustrated every week with the lack of pay for my survival job. I'm so underpaid. Like, hello, everyone just listening. Like, Jason and I love our show and we're hustling out here, but both of us still have survival jobs that we hustle with. And yeah, I do. I feel like the poor in Les Mis.
Yeah, like, don't steal no bread, girl. Don't steal no bread.
Let's go, 2 for $6.01. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Let's go corporate America. Like, pay your employees what they deserve. So we're not getting political today, but we are.
We can.
I'm always ready for it. That's what I like. Genuinely, like every week, I'm financially frustrated, and then I'm like playing it in my survival job, except for when I step away for 20 minutes to record this podcast. But you know, that's just the way it is. And keep hustling, keep marching. Shout out
to and resist, y'all. There's lots of happening in the world, and we just gotta stay. I always say this: we just gotta stay vigilant and stay like aware. Mm-hmm. Because stuff is happening, and like, again, not to get too political, but like, we're talking about how people are struggling. Like, everybody's struggling. Like, we were hearing it from people like in our world, right? And we're hearing it from people who work on Broadway. We're hearing it from actors in film and TV. Taraji had this whole breakdown a couple months ago about not being paid what she's worth, and you know, and we're hearing it from, I'm hearing it from friends who are teachers and friends who work in mental health. Like, everyone is struggling, and there's this kind of perception that is being put in the media that we're all doing good, and we're not. Like, if we talk to people, people are really struggling out there. So I'm always giving extra love and light to everyone, because it's a hard time out there. But a revolution is happening, whether we want it to or not. And it's very just history. History is in the making right now. So.
Yeah, for sure. Not to pivot completely into the topic completely. Yeah. But Jason, congratulations. You were on the Broadway World opening night red carpet for Hell's Kitchen last week. That's huge. Congratulations. Thank you, Broadway World. Tell us a little bit about it. How was it?
No, I mean, I was fortunate to get to see the show Hell's Kitchen before, and I was blown away. I told you, Samantha, I texted you literally as soon as they got out the theater. I was raving about this show. It's so beautiful. It's wonderful. Shoshana Bean, as we all know, is incredible. So is the lead. I mean, it's the whole cast. And we can do a whole episode or a whole breakdown about this when you see the show, and hopefully we'll get somebody from the show on very soon. But it's a beautiful show. Run out, get tickets. It's probably my favorite show I've seen this season so far. I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen a few. Yeah. And it's just really
personal. We've seen
it. Yeah, it hit a really personal chord to me. It's about like parents and about family and fucked up fathers. And, you know, we can go into that another day as well. But just really hit a chord with me, and it's beautiful. And then I got to do the carpet after, which was incredible. And it's the first time, I think, that we've gotten to see the show before doing the red carpet. We kind of always see it after. All right, unless it's something to think of.
Kind of, so, yeah, actually.
I'm not sure if I told you this, Samantha, but when I was talking to like Shoshana, and I was talking to the incredible, iconic, legendary Alicia Keys, it was hard for me to fully stay present, because I was having memories of the show from the night before, and like moments I want to like bring up, but of course you have literally 2 minutes max.
Yeah,
not enough time. You don't have like an in-depth interview like we do now. But I was very moved, and I wanted to cry a lot of the times, because I'm like talking to Shoshana Bean about, you know, her playing a mother for the first time, and how she felt about that. You'll hear it if we get to release that audio, you'll get to hear how she feels about playing a mother.
It's been challenging. Yeah. The beginning of the process, I was just wrestling a lot with my own ego of like, I'm a mom now. That's what we doing. I just played someone's daughter last year. So I'm like, now I'm the mom. And it just was like very confronting. For my age, it just was like hard. And I was really resisting leaning into it.
Yeah.
But it's a great joy to love her and protect her and pour into her and comfort her on stage and more importantly off. And I think the closer that we've gotten off stage only creates a more beautiful relationship on stage.
When she was recently playing like a daughter on her last show on Broadway, right?
Yeah.
Or like, you know, just hearing like Alicia Keys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And just hearing about Alicia Keys, like when Alicia Keys was 23 years ago, when she released Fallen, like, did she know she was going to be in that moment having a Broadway show of her music 23 years into her career? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a huge story, full circle moment, a story about her essentially in her home neighborhood, her home, not just her home city, but her neighborhood. Like,
that is very emotional. That is so cool. And those looks were giving. Okay.
everybody was channeling that spirit of New York. Is such a special place, and like I think sometimes we forget, or maybe I'm gonna speak for myself, I forget how special it is because we're so close to it. We've gotten to grow up, go there, we've lived there, like,
yeah.
But it's a really special place, and that fashion was so New York City inspired, so 90s inspired. I was living, like, seeing these looks on the red carpet. It was like the kind of the first time where like the looks were just as exciting as being on the red carpet, right? It was so fucking cool. Did you get to see some of the pictures? Did you anybody stand out to you?
Yes. I mean, obviously, big shout out to our girl Shoshana Bean. Oh my God. She always serves her looks. She is always showing up ready to go in a look, the hair slicked back, the makeup is, the face is beat, you know what I mean? Like, she always is serving. But that skirt, she had like this custom New York City skirt with like the Statue of Liberty,
the Yankees logo,
the sneakers, the white tank top, like it just all was like a big, you know, love story to New York on her body. So number one, always Shoshana Bean. But then I want to give a big shout out to Alicia Keys' son, Genesis, and his matching suit. He had like a matching tracksuit on that was fly as heck. And then Alicia Keys' mom. Also, it looks like it was a two-piece. I'm always a few carpets I've been in the black and white polka dots. Always. Yeah. I love a polka dot. And my friends sometimes come for me and they're like, Samantha, the polka dots really? And I'm like, I always have loved a polka dot, and as I'm getting older and I don't care about opinions or judgment anymore, and I just care about what I like, I'm rocking the polka dot.
And I love that for you.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe we can pan to like me side by side with Alicia Keys' mom and our black with our white polka dots.
Can we? Yeah, we can.
Do you think we can? Jason, can you edit that?
Yeah. I love that
polka dot moment. So those were my standouts. I mean, everyone looked great. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, those are some great choices. I would just say, like, it was kind of cool to see, like, Alicia Keys and Malia Joy Moon, who's the lead of the show, playing Allie, who's essentially, like, the Alicia Keys in the story. And they were, like, they weren't matching completely, but they're both, like, in these all denim outfits. Alicia Keys was, like, a darker, a more, like, casual denim outfit. And then Malia had, like, this big rhinestones like jacket, and they both just look so cool. They were like a yin and yang to each other, which I thought was cool because of the dynamics of real life. That was so cute. And of course Shoshana Bean, and then Jackie Leone is part of like Ali's friends in the show, and she sings, spoiler alert, she sings Girl on Fire. So when I saw her in this red outfit, I was like, oh my God, the girl is on fire. Like,
that like, is oh so good.
Like, it's so iconic. She looks so fierce. She looks so fierce. Like, I don't know. The fashion was just so exciting. I guess it just really, really excited me. She had those like really high boots on, and with the gold trim, I'm like, you are a star, girl. And I believe it was her Broadway debut, so I wanted to talk to her. Maybe she could be on our panel for, you know, Broadway Con.
Broadway Con.
I hope she wears that outfit if she does get to come on. No, I'm kidding. And then the last one, Joaquin Hart, he wore this like kind of black, it's like sexy sheer shirt with like a gold tie and a gold belt buckle, and these like white socks were like a little bit Michael Jackson inspired, but like it was so sexy, so classy, so like grown and sexy man outfit. I don't know, I just really loved it. With like, it wasn't so like, it wasn't plain like a plain black, it was like sheer and cute, and I don't know, I was living,
you know. It, I mean, you should have been. It was amazing.
How do I get so cool? How do I get to be so cool like them? And like you, polka dot girl, like, I need some style tips. Someone come style me.
Polka dot girl. But I did appreciate this opening night because they, you know, sort of veered off from the traditional like Broadway opening. And I feel like, you know, we've been talking a lot lately about women and the way we're perceived to look and be, and like the more we can break down the walls of like the perception of what should be, and this is one of the moments of like, just be you, babe.
Just be
and
you.
Keep it moving.
Just
and
be
keep
you.
It moving and grooving.
I thought everyone did that. They were just themselves, and they were so unapologetically themselves, and they just looked so stunning, right? Boom. There was no like, oh, this is Broadway, I have to dress in a certain way. It was like, no, I'm gonna be me.
I'm
gonna be
me.
I'm me.
That's, and we're in the vibe of this play.
Exactly.
Well, Jason, everybody needs to go see Hell's Kitchen, but everybody also needs to go see The Great Gatsby on Broadway, which will segue us into our guest today. First of all, happy opening night to The Great Gatsby today. This episode's coming out on April 25th. Happy opening night. Our guest today, Samantha Pauly, is so good in this show. I was living for her in this production. So you guys need to run and go see it. I also want to shout out, I thought the choreography in The Great Gatsby was so great. And the choreographer is from your hometown, Jason, Bridgeport, Connecticut.
When you told me that, I was like, we have to get them on this show. That's amazing.
Dominique Kelly is from Connecticut, represents Bridgeport, Connecticut. And I know you do so much work in Bridgeport for the arts. So this would be an amazing connection to make.
And it's so funny because Dominique is like, kind of like when I was younger, he was like someone from Bridgeport who like made it, right? Who was like on Broadway. So like everyone knows Dominique Kelly, even if we don't know him personally, like we know of him because he was like the one who made it out, right? So that's super cool. I would love to connect with him and get him on. So exciting.
But so Jason and I were so lucky. We both got to see The Great Gatsby. I mean, the performances, you know, it's Jeremy Jordan, it's Ava, like obviously these people are going to be singing down. So, you know, they took a story that everybody knows and made it like you were seeing and hearing it for the first time. So definitely check it out and definitely go support our girl, Samantha Pauly. Yes. What an icon.
And that show, y'all, the mere spectacle of it, it's like nothing I've seen in a long time, which I was so thankful for the opportunity to see it and support it. And Go, get your tickets. Go.
Run. So let's tell you a little bit about Samantha and then we'll wrap up and enjoy her episode.
Yeah. Do you want to go first, Sam?
I will take it. Samantha to Samantha. Yes. Samantha Pauly is a Grammy nominated and Drop and Desk Award winning actress, best known for originating the role of Catherine Howard in Six the Musical on Broadway and now for starring in The Great Gatsby. In the summer of 2019, Samantha was handpicked by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Jamie Lloyd to play Ava Perone in Regent's Park Open Air Theater's critically acclaimed revival of Evita on the West End.
Oh, I wish I could have seen her in that.
Powerful.
She's such a fantastic performer. And it's that role, oh my gosh. Okay. Some of her regional credits include Mimi in Rent, Betsy in Honeymoon in Vegas, Ava Perone in Evita, is it Jovi in Elf the Musical, and Amber Von Tussle in Hairspray. Y'all know Hairspray is my favorite musical. The same in 2018, she also tours and performed her solo cabaret, An Evening with Samantha Pauly, and has performed in New York City, LA, Chicago, and more. Some of her TV credits include Chicago PD on NBC and ads for Mike's Hard Lemonade, Purina, and T-Mobile. Holla. She's a gift, y'all.
The Bob is bobbing, and love she'll teach you something about hitting a golf ball in The Great Gatsby. So see you at the theater and enjoy the episode.
Enjoy.
Bye. Hi, Samantha. Welcome to Survival Jobs, the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I'm hyped to Samantha's. I don't know that that's happened before. Jason, has it?
Samantha squared. I know. It's wild.
It's super exciting. Congratulations. You're about to be starring in The Great Gatsby on Broadway. Performances are on March 29th. So how are we feeling?
I feel good. I'm tired, but I'm excited. I'm happy that, you know, things are coming together, that we're like, that we finally have all of the elements and I can kind of hear everything the way it's going to sound. And they were, we all got dismissed last night and the orchestra stayed for like 20 extra minutes and they were playing through my song in act one again at like a faster tempo that I had asked for. So I just stayed behind and just like sat on the stage and listened to everything. Cause I haven't gotten to just sit and listen to it. And that was, it was very, very exciting. I got a little emotional. So,
well, we're all so excited. We have so much to talk about, all the things Broadway. But before we do that, let's talk about why we are all here. Survival jobs. Do you have a survival job from your past before you were a literal Broadway icon that was a good one, one that like brings you joy to think about?
I had so many. One thing that I never did was I never worked in the service industry because I just didn't think I could, one, handle people that like are dicks sometimes. You know what I mean? Like I'm
There's
that
so
person.
Many.
That I will give it right back and then I'll get fired. So
sometimes you have to.
And also like coordination couldn't be me. Holding stuff with one. No, can't do it. I would drop. I would be fired immediately. But I worked in retail a lot. I went back and forth between Abercrombie and Fitch and Hollister for like 7-8 years. Like when I was in high school and college, because they were a survival job that was like, if you need to come back, come back. If you need to leave, leave. If you want to go to a different store while you're in college, work there.
One, you're our second guest in season 3 that has worked at Abercrombie.
Really?
Yeah.
Jonathan Bennett also worked
at Jonathan
Abercrombie.
Bennett. Yeah.
Oh my God.
You're shirtless though. So.
Oh, he was one of the shirtless stand outside the store. Oh my
God.
What a thrill.
Yeah. Were you spraying people with the perfume and the cologne?
Oh my God. No, but you know what? All of those rules about like having to spray throughout the store at certain times from a certain distance, like it was wild. It was, I was like, can we all just relax? Like the things that you have to say when people come into the store, you can't say like, hi everyone, how's it going? Can I help you? You say, hey, what's up? Very cool.
You have to say, hey, what's up?
You have to say, hey, what's up? And then you can ask them if they need help finding.
I wonder if they still have to do that these days.
I don't know. I hope not. I don't think.
Oh my goodness.
I hope not. But that was one that I had for a while. After I graduated college and I moved, I lived in Chicago for like 6 years and worked there. And when I first moved there, I worked at a dog shelter that I loved. It was like very hard work and very gross. But
you got to play with cute puppies.
Yes. There were like times that we could take dogs outside and play with them, but between like opening for the day and then visiting hours later and like feeding schedule and it was like, there wasn't any time for that. It was so much cleaning and so much like dirty work.
Yikes.
That I think they had a hard time finding people to work there because they're like, this isn't like you show up and you just play with the dogs. Like you are on your hands and knees, like quite literally knee deep in shit and like clean. And like some of the dogs are aggressive and you have to deal with it. And like we get new puppies and dogs are like dumped outside. I would show up in the morning sometimes to like open the shelter and there would be a dog like tied to the door that people just like drop their dogs off. So it was hard, but it was very rewarding to like see all these new dogs come in and then, you know, like, or do meet and greets with people and introduce dogs to people and then like see them get adopted. But it was hard and it was sad sometimes. And I ended up leaving that job because I booked a show in Chicago and I just had to leave. And then I was very lucky. I worked very consistently, so I didn't have to go back, but I dog walked for a while. I worked at SoulCycle for a little while. That's another one that I was very like, calm down, everyone. You know what I mean? Like that particular brand.
Yeah.
They do things a certain way, which like, I get it, but that, and I was still in Chicago, like in a very, like affluent, like very rich suburb. So all the Lululemon moms were coming in and that was like a whole other very interesting environment. I feel like I've done a lot of survival.
That resume is a couple pages, girl.
So there's a lot of them.
I mean, I guess you kind of have to. That's a kind of a common theme that we've seen through a lot of our guests and even ourselves, right? A lot of people have to have many jobs to survive in this industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And podcast. No more episodes.
And it's hard. And it's hard to find ones where, as an actor, you can be like, this is not what I primarily care about. This is, I'm doing this while I have some free time right now. And if I book something, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Or to find jobs like that, that understand that, like, okay, well, if you have to leave, but if you need to come back, that's great. SoulCycle was also like that. They were like, yeah, if you need to leave and then come back, that's great. Which was nice of them.
So Samantha, let's go back to the beginning. Do you remember the catalyst for you that was like, hey, I think I want to do this professionally. I have a voice. I have talent to act. Do you remember what that was? How old you were?
I didn't start doing theater until like the end of my junior year of high school. I sang in choir, but I didn't grow up doing theater. My parents are not theater people. They are not artistic. Oh, wow. Anyway, that is not their, they're always like, we don't know where she gets it. We don't know how she does what she does. But I auditioned for like our spring musical in high school. My choir teacher was like, you should try out. I think you would maybe have fun. And they were doing the pajama game. And
oh my gosh, I love that show.
And I really do too. I think it's so cute.
Hernando's Hideaway gets stuck in my head. Wait.
And you know what? That's the role I played. I knew nothing about the show. I knew nothing. And that was the part that I got, and I had so much fun. And I think my drama teacher kind of saw like, oh, I think she really likes this and she's good at it. So he kind of helped me. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. Didn't know where I was going to go to college, if I was going to go to college. I felt like I wasn't good at anything. And I didn't really understand like that this could be a job. I think because I didn't grow up doing it, and I didn't see it. I'd never seen a Broadway show before. I'd never seen anything. And then the summer before my senior year, the choir and drama departments took a trip to New York, and we saw two Broadway shows. And the first one we saw was Wicked, and Julia Murney was playing Elphaba. And I'd never heard a voice like that. I had never heard anyone sing like that, like her, just her iconic.
She is unbelievable.
I remember watching Defying Gravity and thinking, oh, I want to do that. Like if this is what it can be, I want to do this. And so then, you know, I feel like for a lot of theater departments, they fill up kind of like the year before. So my drama teacher kind of was helping me like, well, what faculty do I know at what schools, what programs might not be full yet? So he kind of helped me figure out where I could go and who he knew. And I think it was like probably when I was in college that I was finally like, oh yeah, I think I'm good enough at this that I could do this for a job.
Clearly.
I still felt so behind because like I got to school and there were so many kids that had been doing it since they were three or like knew each other from
work,
you know, all of this stuff that I was like, I don't know anything. I feel behind. I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. So I felt like I was working twice as hard to like get better at dancing. Like I danced maybe went like from like the ages of 3 to 10. So college, I was like, oh shit, I have to be able to
tap
all of these kinds of styles of dance, I guess. And
that
was like the first time I took a voice lesson and, you know, all the things that are required. So I feel like college was finally when I was like, yeah, I think I can do this. But I still have times where I'm like, can I do this?
I can assure you, you can, and you are.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, It's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
First of all, I'd like to shout out Julia Murney, past Survival Jobs guest as well. She's a past guest.
I finally met her for the first time, like maybe 2 years ago, maybe like a year and a half ago. And I had had a friend that saw her in Between the Lines. And he texted me like 1 a.m. and he's like, I just saw Between the Lines, and sent me a picture of him with Julia Murney. He's like, she says she's a big fan of yours. I said, what do you mean? what are you talking about? I'd never met her. I always wanted to meet her. And then I finally did a concert with Ellery Ward, and Julia Murney was another one of her guests. And so I was like, I'm sorry. I have to do the thing that like, I don't want to bother you, but like, I want to say the things that I've always wanted to say to you. And like, you're the person, you're like the first person that I saw, and you're like kind of why I'm doing what I'm doing. And when I first saw her, before I talked to her, she like reached across the table and took my hands, and she was like, I'm so glad we're finally meeting. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I drive on the holidays, and she's like, okay, make sure you text me if you're like stuck at, you know, in the snow, and I want to make sure you get home. Okay. I was like, oh yeah, Julia Murney, I'll definitely text you.
I'll text you to come save me from the snow. No problem at all. That is so good. Okay. We have so much great Gatsby to talk about, but before we do, we have to talk about Six, because my God, how iconic. I do just want to shout out and say I was there at the very first preview pre-pandemic, and I also was there at the first show back post-pandemic.
Oh my God.
So I feel like I was on the pandemic Six journey with you.
Yeah.
Can you just tell us a little bit about what that whole experience was like? I know we never want to talk about the pandemic again, but I feel like that is like for this show in particular, you guys were about to open on the day of the shutdown. So can you chat a little bit about what that was like, and then how it was like to come back to that show after the pandemic?
Absolutely. The day that everything shut down was supposed to be our opening night. And I had like planned a brunch for like my family and friends that were in town, and went to brunch with everybody. Can you imagine a crowded brunch
on March
13th?
Oh. I'm like, what were we doing? But went to brunch, and then I was in a Lyft with my sister. She was like going to stop and go get her makeup done, and I was going to come back to my apartment and get my outfit for opening night. And on the way home, someone sent me the Playbill article that was like, effective tomorrow, Broadway shutting down. And I was like, oh, well, tomorrow. So like, we'll still open tonight for sure. And then I got home, and all of the girls were kind of texting each other, because some of them were at the theater already. And they were saying, you know, we're here and no one really seems to know if we're actually doing the show tonight. And I called our stage manager and I said, she didn't even say hello. She picked up the phone and she said, don't ask me what's going on. I have no idea. And I said,
oh.
And I think the show was supposed to be at 6, and it wasn't until like 4:30 that we all finally got an email that was like, if you're not already in Midtown, don't come in. We're not doing the show tonight. And so I hadn't gone in. I just stayed at home, and my family was still here. So my sister, I don't think she lived in my building yet. My sister and her boyfriend live in my building now. They're like 4 floors above me.
How fun.
That's cute.
So we just like went across the street and went to the grocery store and like loaded up on food and just like got drunk at my apartment and had a little party. And she had ordered me a cake that said like, happy Broadway opening. and she took it back to wherever she got it and had them add happy almost Broadway opening. So we still had the cake and everything, but
I love her.
Best. But it was such a weird time because then, like, I think the next day we got an email that was like, we'll be coming back in 4 weeks. No questions asked. April 13th. That's when we're reopening. And I was like, oh, all of us were like, oh, a month off. That's actually not that bad. That sounds really nice because we had been out on this tour the year before. Mm-hmm. And before we came to Broadway, we had like 3 weeks off, which for all of us that didn't live in New York, we were moving. So yeah, it had just been a whirlwind that I'm like, 4 weeks, that sounds great. I'll sleep. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all these other things started happening that they're like, well, now they're saying it's 8 weeks and now it's this and that. It sucked. It was so weird because, you know, then there were some shows that like were starting to announce they weren't going to come back at all. And so we, you know, were so stressed and panicked, and our producers were very nice that, you know, every couple of weeks or months we would have like a big Zoom call together so they could update us, but mostly to say like, don't worry, we're coming back. We're not replacing anybody. Everyone's going to have a job. We're going to rebuild all the costumes. Wow. Like, don't worry about if you have changed, if you think maybe this isn't for you anymore. Cause there were so many people that happened for too, that they're like, oh, I've been doing something else and that's way better. And they just left the industry. Wow. No one, you know, a part of our show, but I feel right. like in the industry in general.
Yeah.
But even when they finally told us when we were coming back, you know, we started to figure out like, okay, it's probably going to be July of 2021 or whenever it was. I feel like even then I've still felt so nervous. I was like, yeah, okay.
Days are so long.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. So our first show back then after the shutdown was just
iconic.
Wild.
Iconic.
Like, I mean, we wear, you know, we have our handheld microphones in the show, so we wear in-ear monitors to kind of, because the band's on stage with us, so that we can hear each other, hear the band, have the sound of the audience cut out so that we can hear everything else that we need to. But the audience was so loud that it didn't matter. We couldn't hear anything. We get like a count off before the first divorce and I couldn't hear shit. It was absolutely insane. Just so, so overwhelming.
Yeah.
Everyone was just so thrilled. And I mean, you know, you saw it with all these other shows too, when Wicked first came back and Glinda first came in, and that, I mean, yeah. I was that video, I don't know how many times, and just cried every time.
Mm.
Just crazy. But, you know, it was a show that was a part of my life for like 3.5 years. So,
yeah.
And we were all together for all of it. So,
yeah.
We all have a very special relationship with each other, especially having gone through
trauma.
Yeah, all of that. Trauma.
No. Congratulations on it. You were my favorite queen. You are my favorite queen. Don't tell anyone. Thank you for sharing all of that. You know, it's so crazy to like look back at it now, but I was like six. I feel like everybody was affected in the shutdown, but six was like a good open.
It was wild.
That is wild. So let's talk about, we're going to talk about Gatsby now, but I have one quick question, Samantha, I want to add in here.
Add it.
You said you were with Six for 3.5 years. How do you know when it's time to go? To move on? When you're like, I have to put this character to bed now. I'm ready for a new opportunity.
So, good question. What they are doing now with the show is what they do on the West End is that they have a cast come in and they keep them for a year and then they let them go. And then they bring in a new cast and keep them for a year and then they let them go. So I was not ready to go. I wanted to stay.
And
I think maybe it was May of 2022. They had meetings with each of us individually and they said, so your contracts are technically up like August 7th. So you can leave then, or we can offer you a 17-week extension to December. But then that's it. And I was like, oh, well, I want to stay. Like, I'm not, I'm definitely not the kind of person that, you know, I feel like unless something bad happens as a part of an experience, like I will stay in a job until I book another job that takes me away from that current job, because this business is so up and down. It's so, nothing is guaranteed. I would say that all the time with Six. I'm like, well, I'm on Broadway now. I might never be on Broadway again. I have no idea. This business is so crazy. And in my mind, I was like, well, you have an original cast. Like, that's how Broadway works. Like, you keep the original cast members for as long as you can. Mm-hmm. And they were like, December, that will be it.
Oh, jeez.
So Adriana was already leaving because she booked some like it hot. Anna had already left because she was in New York. And Joy Woods came in. And then Joy left because then she booked The Notebook. So then it was me, Brittany Mack, and Andrea Mackis that stayed. And then all of our, the four understudies that we had also stayed. And we had some new people, you know, coming in, and all really wonderful. But the three of us really had to fight to stay and get what we thought we deserved. So we were sad, and you know, some people were ready to go. I honestly wasn't. And I was so sad. It really broke my heart to leave, because I was still having so much fun. I felt like I was still kind of like getting settled and like finding new things with the character. And I just love that show so much. So I really was heartbroken to go. So I'll go back anytime if they ever want me. I love the show so much, and it means so much to me, especially that character and telling her story and being a representation for other people that have gone through similar things. That's my favorite part of my job in general, is to like be someone on stage or tell a story that people can be like, oh yeah, that also happened to me. Or yeah, I also identify with that. I mean, that's, you know, I feel like everybody loves that part of this job. So I was sad to go. I miss it a lot, but luckily
another amazing production and project came right to you.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm also a very firm, it's so many weird things in my career. I'm very firm believer that everything happens exactly the way it is supposed to. The thing that is meant for you will not pass you by ever. So everything has happened for me exactly the way that it was supposed to happen.
Preach. I love that so much.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So did you have, can you maybe describe the audition process for Gatsby? Like how did this role, how did you end up in this role?
I got, when was this? Maybe March of last year. I got just an email from my agents asking me to go in for it, and I had heard about it, but I didn't know yet like who the creative team was. And when I got the email, one of my managers had replied, and he was like, "I can see if they'll see you for Daisy too." And I was like, I don't think I'm a Daisy. I don't think that's me. Like reading their description of Jordan Baker, you know, it was like, she's got a short haircut and she wears pants and she's a new woman and she doesn't want to be married and this and that. I was like, oh, that's me. Minus the short hair. But
yeah,
the description, I was like, no, this is the character that I would play. Saw the creative team, you know, listed on the breakdown, and we were given short snippets of music from the show. And I learned that and went to the first appointment. And one thing that I always ask, even if it's for a show that already exists, new show or, you know, old show, I'll always ask when I get into the room, what do I need to know? And do you want me to do exactly what's on the page for, you know, singing wise? Because if you want me to do that, I'll do that. But if not, I'll add a little something. And I said,
I had a little raise on there.
I said, I'm saying, what is exactly on the page? And Jason Helland is the composer. And he said, no, do what you do. And I said, great, say less. So saying the stuff, of course, he asked, I don't really have like a book anymore, like an audition book. There's maybe five songs in it. I have no idea where it is. But I was like, you know, I better bring something just in case. Knowing my luck, they'll ask for something else. So I sang the song from the show, and then he was like, what else do you have in your book? And I was like, God damn it, I knew you were gonna ask me that. I said, that's a good question, Jason. I don't actually know. I haven't really opened my book in forever. So sang something else and, you know, did the sides, and I felt like it went great, and then got asked to go to final callbacks and just do the same thing. Sang the same song, did the same sides. And I went right after that and met two girls from Six for dinner. And while I was at dinner, I got another email that like the subject line said like private choreography session. And I said, oh no, please no. I don't want to do that. I hadn't gone to a dance call. I hadn't had to dance. But I remember in the character description, it said had to dance. And I was like, I texted one of my managers and I was like, oh, I'm panicking a little bit.
Oh no.
And she was like, no, don't panic. We asked them. They just want to see like what you can do. It's not going to be a crazy dance call. It's just going to be a one-on-one to see, you know, how they could build this number around you.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. That's great. So I went to that the next day and met with Dominique Kelly, who is our choreographer, who has become one of my favorite people on this planet.
He's also from Connecticut, like us, like me and Sam.
Wait, is he really?
Yeah. He's like a hometown hero for us in Bridgeport. I
mean, his choreography is absolutely insane, but it was maybe 25 minutes in the room with him and his associate Cedric, who's also just absolutely incredible. And he was like, I just kind of want to see what you can do. I'm going to give you a couple phrases. We're literally just going to do like catwalks up and down the room. Cause I'm going to build the number around you. And I was
That's
like,
iconic. Okay.
I said, the way you're talking, it sounds like I'm going to book this job. So I was just like, okay, yeah, totally. Yeah. Build it around me, whatever. So did that. And it was really fun and like very low stress. And then I didn't hear anything for a couple days. And, Jason Helland does this thing where he just likes to share information sometimes. And I had a doctor's appointment at the end of the week, and I'm sitting in this doctor's office, like just on my phone waiting. And he messaged me and he said, like, congratulations, I'm so excited to work with you. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because I haven't
the offer.
I texted my managers and I was like, hey, do we have any kind of update about what's going on? Because Jason's talking to me like, I have booked this job and I haven't heard anything. And they finally called me and they're like, yeah, so an offer is coming, but you got it. An offer will come in early next week. So that's kind of how I found out.
I kind of love that because it's like all pressure is kind of off because you're just, it's just casual. It's just casual.
Really,
you're
like, oh, great. Now I can like enjoy my weekend and, you know, concrete details at the beginning of the next week. But
so with Gatsby, you're originating this role sort of like you did with Six, how are you approaching this? Do you approach it differently than you would say, like when you are Ava Perone or roles that have existed and people have, you know, laid the blueprint in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. What I love about this creative team is that they are open to discussion and talking about the characters and what we think they would do or how they would act or what they would say. And they're also really great, especially Dom and Jason, because they don't make you do anything that you're not capable of doing. For a lot of my things, Dom would like choreograph it and shape it with the ensemble in one room. And then I would come into the room and I would watch the whole thing and someone would show me like, this is where you go and this is what you do. And then I would say like, okay, yeah, I think I can also do this thing that the ensemble's doing and I can do that and I can do that. Can I also do these things with them? So I'm doing more dancing than I thought I would be doing, which I love. But Jason is the same way, that if he writes something and I'm like, this feels weird, that instantly he's like, well, then let's just write something different.
That's great.
So that it, you know, it's what you want it to be. He's like, they never want to make our jobs harder. They want their material to be good and for us to also sound, you know, good or look good doing it. So that's been really great because I feel like I am really putting a stamp on this character and making it my own and what I think she would be, and also bringing a lot of myself to it because there's so much in Jordan Baker that I identify with. So that's been really exciting. I think it's also kind of doing a reverse of like, she's kind of like inspiring me, like in my everyday life and like how I approach things or how I think or, you know. And I think sometimes it doesn't get lost on me, but sometimes I really do forget that like, oh, this is like, there has never been a great Gatsby musical before and we are making it and this is the first cast and I am creating this character for the stage. I'm doing that.
You're the blueprint.
Which is wild. And I would forget that in Six a lot too. Brittany Mack would have to remind me like, you're in the library.
Yes. Like,
people go to watch it. That's us.
Yes.
They're not watching anybody. It's us. And on the cast album, that's us. And what you're singing on the cast album is what people are trying to
emulate. Yeah.
That's the blueprint. And I'm like, oh yeah, it is. I think it's just so, all of it is so far beyond the scope of anything I ever thought I would do that I still have a lot of moments where I'm like, oh my God, you're right. That is what I'm doing.
It's so hard when you're in it and doing it to recognize what you're doing because you're doing the work. And you're just giving it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, wait, what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's so weird. It's so weird, but it's been so rewarding and really exciting. Like even just doing the show out at Paper Mill and talking to people at the stage door, the number of people that have been like, I never really cared about Jordan Baker as a character, but like now she's my favorite. And I'm like, oh, great.
Yes.
I love that. And our writer, Kate Kerrigan, has given the female characters in this show more of a voice and a presence than they have in the actual book, which is also really exciting and
amazing.
Fun to play
with. That. That is amazing. Okay, so if there's any silly billies out there who are listening to this interview and have not gotten their tickets yet, why should people run and get their tickets to see The Great Gatsby right now? And what do you hope audiences leave with after seeing it?
I mean, people should get their tickets because tickets are selling. And it is one of, I mean, Six is like a spectacle of a show. This is just as much of a spectacle of a show. It's, I've been having to, I said earlier, I'm trying to go out into the house when I can and watch things and see them for what they actually are, because, you know, when we're in it on stage, I can't see outside of anything. So I still have moments where I'm like, I don't know if this is good. Am I good? Like, cause I can't see. But watching it, there have been so many times that I'm like, oh my God, that's what we're doing. Like, it's beautiful to look at the choreography and the singing, the vocals that are happening on stage are out of this world. I mean, Jeremy Jordan like hardly opens his mouth and his voice is like singing from the heavens. It's wild. And on top of that, I hope that when people see what we are doing on stage, they find a whole new love for the book and the story. Because I mean, like, until I went in for it, I hadn't read it since I was in high school when I was required to read it. So I hope that maybe people fall in love with it all over again. If they've never read it, that maybe now they want to read it. When my parents came to see it, neither of them had ever read it or seen the movies. And I was like, maybe don't watch the movie before you come. There's nothing confusing. Just go in and see what happens.
Dive in.
They loved it.
That's me. Just to be honest, I've never seen this film or read this book. Maybe in school.
Oh my gosh.
Honest.
Just go see it. Just come see it.
And we will be there.
And you know what else there is? There's bubbles and fireworks.
And you know what?
Fireworks.
Like video screen fireworks.
It's the magic of Broadway.
It's crazy.
So everyone, in conclusion, go get your tickets to The Great Gatsby.
Hey, Samantha,
you are amazing. Thank you for taking this time to chat with us. I feel like we covered so much ground. Survival Job 6.
Hey. Gatsby.
We always love to end the show with a quick, fun game. But before we do that, do you have any advice for any of our listeners that might be feeling stuck in their own survival job, maybe at Abercrombie, maybe at Walking Dogs, that want a life in the arts? What's your advice to them to keep going?
I would say probably what I said earlier that I have to remind myself of a lot still is that you are always exactly where you are meant to be, and what is meant for you will not pass you by. And it can be so, I know I say that and it's like easy to say, and it can be so hard in the moment to remember that and be like, yeah, but I'm still stuck here, or I'm not doing this thing that I wanted, or I didn't get this job, and someone else, you know, it's so easy for us to compare our journeys to everybody else. And I still do it all the time. But anything that you miss out on, you're not really missing because it wasn't meant for you right now.
For you. Yeah.
Something better is coming.
Correct.
Preach.
Sometimes you just have to wait, and that sucks. But just be a kind person and work hard.
There it is. You're amazing.
Preacher Samantha in the house right now.
I got confused this whole episode when you were asking Samantha, our guest, a question. I was like, what? You know, I'm like, wait, what? Do I need to answer that? Oh my goodness. Anyway, so thank you again. In past interviews, we've heard you chat a lot about leading ladies, idols of yours in the Broadway industry. So we thought, what better way to end this interview than with some Broadway leading lady trivia?
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm so bad at trivia.
Also, you're a Broadway leading lady yourself now. So you're going to fit. Maybe on our next one of our episodes in a few years, you'll be an answer.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Jason, you want to take the first?
Yeah. Okay. This is multiple choice. So this Broadway leading lady was the first to play Grisabella in Cats. A, Elaine Page. B, Sarah Brightman. Or C, Patti LuPone.
Oh. Is it A? Is it Elaine Page?
Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Correct.
I met her when I did in London. She came. She came to see the show, and like, they don't have you doing all 8 shows a week, do they? And I said, yeah, babe. And she was like, oh, you should fire your agents. I said, she was so funny.
She was so pissed.
She was so pissed. Yeah, I was like, okay.
You're like, okay, I'm on it. Firing. Okay, number two. This Broadway leading lady won a Tony for her portrayal of Madame Rose in Gypsy in 1974. A, Bette Midler, B, Ethel Merman, or C, Angela Lansbury.
C. Yeah,
cheating.
Congratulations. I do. When our guests get stumped on the video, you guys, if you're only listening to the audio, I do cheat sometimes, and sorry. Okay. And I confess, at least I'm honest.
You're honest.
True. All right, number three. This Broadway leading lady is a recipient of 6 Tony Awards. A, Vanessa Williams, B, Audra McDonald, or C, Victoria Clark.
B?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Carousel Masterclass, Ragtime, Raisin in the Sun, Porgy and Bess, and Lady Day at Emerson Bar and Grill.
Oof. When I saw that she won 6, I was like, oh. And then I was like, wow. 6. Perfect.
Can I borrow one, Audra? Just for like...
Literally, just have it for the night. Okay, number four. This Broadway leading lady has won 2 Tony Awards for Song and Dance and Annie Get Your Gun. A, Bernadette Peters. B, Patti LuPone. Or C, Shoshana Bean.
Is it A?
Yes! Congratulations! Perfect score so far.
Oh my God. Yeah,
we have a bonus that you don't need. But this is the bonus. This Broadway leading lady has been nominated 7 times for a Tony Award and has won for her iconic portrayal of Eva Perón in the 1979 original Broadway production of Evita. There's no multiple choice for this one. Sorry.
Patty. Yeah. Yes.
Patty.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes, that was the follow-up. What did she say to you when you told her you were doing 8 shows a week?
She said, I was like, oh, I had another moment with her where I was afraid to talk to her because I knew I was going to cry. But I was like, Patty, I want to say that all the things that I've always wanted to say to you and this and that. And I was like, you know, I did Evita and, you know, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. But like you were the blueprint and, you know, it was so hard. And she goes, yeah, but don't you feel so fucking powerful? And I said, yeah, Patty, I really did feel powerful. She was so nice. Yes. And then this was at like a birthday party. And before I left, I went back over to her. I was like, I just want to say bye. And, you know, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. And it's okay if you say no, but I was wondering if we could get a picture together. And she said, oh my God, yeah, of course. Cause she was coming to see 6 the next day with her husband. So we took a picture and then I went to go like give her a hug goodbye and she kissed me on the mouth.
Ah!
Yes.
You've been kissed by Patty.
She kissed me on the mouth.
That is amazing.
Ooh. I mean, you're blessed.
I love that story to end this episode. Kissed on the mouth by Patty LuPone. Thank you so much for chatting with us. This was an amazing episode. You are an icon. I've obviously told you you're my favorite queen, and I can't wait to see 6. Can't wait to see Great Gatsby. Jason and I will be there shouting from the audience.
You have to tell me when you're there so I can say you guys after.
Yes, we fully will. Before we go, can you please let our listeners know where they can follow you on all of the social medias, how to keep up with Samantha?
Yes, on Instagram and TikTok, I'm just at Sam Pauly.
Yes. Will we do ours?
Yes, Jason, take it away.
Yeah. On Instagram and Twitter, we are Survival Jobs Pod. On Facebook, look for us under Survival Jobs a Podcast and send us an email. Request a guest on survivaljobspod@gmail.com. Samantha, thank you so much.
Oh. And on TikTok, the TikTok of Survival Jobs has recently been activated. Woo! We are Survival Jobs Pod. Amazing. You know, it took us a long time. Guys, follow my boy Jason at Jason A. Coombs also, and I'm Sammy Toots, and Samantha, Jason, Samantha Squared.
Thank you so much. Gatsby. Love you. Great Gatsby. Woo!
Thank you.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.